The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We have a new WWE champion until the India tour, and more news to cover here tonight on Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network. With me, your host, Shannon Young. Allie's already lowering her head to the microphone like she's defeated. We'll find out what that's all about here in 1 second. Mr. 100, back out with you again after a huge edition of CCW Live. That was a lot of fun. And here tonight with me to talk about this are my CCW Live co-stars and, you know, Podzilla greats. Ace of Gray, the five-star man at the end of the table.
Yes, hello.
Allie Ebert to my right.
Hello.
And to my left, Air.
Yo.
All right, Allie, you introduced me as him.
And Dalton Anthony.
Yeah, say the big D.
And the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo. Hey, so your turn. And the big D, Dalton Anthony.
No, I'm good.
Dalton not here with us tonight. He's got real world issues he's dealing with. I don't want to say good stuff. Professional stuff. So he couldn't be here. We do miss him, though, and hopefully he will be back next week. But let's jump in to the news this week. And, of course, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, the big news coming out of wrestling, maybe not the biggest news, but it's definitely big. We should talk about it really quick, is that AJ Styles is your new WWE champion after SmackDown last night. He defeated Jinder Mahal and will go on to face Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. And Ace, that is a huge matchup. That's much bigger than Mahal versus Lesnar, but oh, yeah. I'm still not happy with it.
No, this is one of those things where I'm going to have to take a wait and see. Like, I'm ecstatic that AJ Styles can now say he's a two-time WWE champion.
Yes, that's the good part.
He is, you know, if Lesnar bothers to show up, that match is going to be incredible.
If Brock Lesnar, collegiate superstar and great wrestler, shows up and not Suplex City
and,
bitch.
Yeah, it does more
but
than
that's Suplex. All we've gotten the last however long he's been in WWE, it feels like now.
And it's not like he worked against bad opponents. Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman. He matches that could have been incredible were just there.
Yeah. I mean,
the Joe match wasn't bad.
The Joe match was good. I enjoyed the Strowman match for the most part. There were some things that were real dumb, but yeah, I don't know. But AJ is, you know, he's arguably the best wrestler in the world right now. Like there's a strong argument for that. And Lesnar is an incredible wrestler. You go back and you watch his matches against Kurt Angle and just that entire run.
Yeah.
Where he was amazing. And that's why we're so down on Suplex City is because it's, at this point, it's stale.
Yeah.
And we know what he's actually capable of.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm.
Yeah.
But it's a wait and see thing. Like if they just do this just to feed AJ to protect Mahal from Lesnar and then to just
put the title back on him.
I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but
I'd really like to believe in my heart of hearts that they realize that Lesnar versus AJ Styles is a more marquee matchup than Mahal versus Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Because as much, and I will give props to Jinder Mahal on many different things. I don't think he's put in the performance that he could have. And I think part of that is because he hasn't been giving material to work with that he could work with.
Right.
But I also think that he has tried his best to put himself over as something special, even if WWE has not backed him up on it.
Well,
if you listen to his interviews where he talks about, I'm going to be the greatest champion ever, I'm better than this guy, I'm better than that guy. He really does carry himself like a Ric Flair.
He carries himself like a champion.
He does.
And it's
but
nothing.
But it's when he gets in the ring that WWE goes, oh, the Singh brothers again for the 30th time.
Yeah.
That and really hurts it.
And it gets to the point where, yes, you know, if you're annoyed at seeing something and you don't like seeing it and you're hoping that he loses the championship, then people would say, oh no, that's the good thing. That's the reaction they want.
Right.
But when it's to the point where at TLC, whenever it was his match against, who did he just wrestle at TLC? Was it Nakamura again?
Nakamura.
Yeah. That was when we were eating pizza.
Yeah.
That's when we were on the other side of the room, like not paying attention because, oh, well, we know what's happening here.
The world title match should not be the bathroom break.
Right. And
ever.
It's the thing where it's, yes, it is being presented like a big deal and WWE is fully backing Mahal, which is nice to see, but the material is just not there. It's not what he deserves because, like, people will say, you can turn chicken shit into chicken liver, but imagine what you could do with chicken liver to start with.
Right.
So, yeah. Or chicken salad.
Chicken salad. Oh, chicken liver.
I was like, I mean, that's people eat it. That, but.
My dad ate that.
Starts
not really
over.
Much yeah, nowadays.
Chicken gizzards, too. And that's yeah. just disgusting. Almost as disgusting as the thought of Brock Lesnar obliterating AJ Styles. Which is why, again, I hope that that's not the case, because AJ Styles deserves better than that. Brock Lesnar deserves better than that.
Yeah.
And also, with the India tour coming up, if they put the title back on Mahal that quickly.
Yeah.
That's upsetting. So, AJ Styles deserves better than being a transitional champion to protect Mahal. It's almost like they're protecting Mahal from Lesnar.
That's what I said.
I know, and what I'm agreeing with you. It's like they're protecting Mahal from Lesnar just to give him the title back for the Indian Tour. And then when the Indian Tour is over, they'll probably take the title back off Mahal. And I don't know if they'll put it back on Styles, but they'll put it on somebody, maybe Randy Orton, maybe John Cena. Cena's now on the SmackDown team, even though he's a free agent that just went to Raw. What the hell's going on in WWE land?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Because I want to ask you, so do you remember the Heyman promo against Mahal when they answered his challenge?
Yes.
And how Heyman basically eviscerated Mahal?
Yeah.
And now that we're
made
not...
him look like a little bitch.
And now,
that's one.
You said it.
That's one for
you
tonight.
You said it. I totally lost my train of thought.
So sorry.
Good job on the bit.
Heyman promo. Eviscerated him.
Yeah, so do you think now that Mahal isn't going to wrestle Lesnar, seemingly, that what was the point of him just completely obliterating him on the microphone?
What was the point of Emma going 50-50 with Asuka before she got fired?
Yeah, I'm starting to kind of get worried that at the, you know, we're going to get we're getting the Lesnar AJ match, and it turns into just Mahal and the Singh brothers run in
and interfere.
Well,
because I could see that happening, because as far as I know now, at the Survivor Series, Mahal doesn't have a spot at all. And I like to think that they put too much money into Mahal and too much effort into Mahal to just abandon him until they need him again for
Except
the India
Except it's Survivor
tour.
Series, so we're just going to put a hold on all of our current ongoing storylines for the most part.
That's also absolutely true. It's a cluster fluck.
Yeah.
I didn't curse. I said fluck. But it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad. And the AJ Styles victory should be a thing that we're celebrating, because I am so excited for AJ Styles. Again, if you're a wrestling fan, if you've been a wrestling fan for a long time, and you can say AJ Styles is your WWE champion, that's insane.
Again,
for the second time. His first run was phenomenal. And
I get it.
Yeah, I got it. And I'd love to see what he does with this one. But if it's just to protect Mahal, Jinder Mahal.
But I'm not getting worse.
You're sacrificing AJ Styles?
And that's why I'm taking the wait and see, because I want to see what they do with it.
But you also took that approach with Kane and Finn Balor.
Yeah, and I was right there too. So
this
it's
is
fine.
This is not the bit that we promised to do, but I'm just curious on your thoughts on this. If we're hitting the SmackDown Raw thing, did you have a problem? Was I right?
No.
With Kane and Finn Balor.
I don't think you were, you were right in your prediction that it would just.
That it would get dropped.
That it would get dropped, but I don't think.
You still don't think it hurt Balor?
Even a little bit, because who was standing tall after their pull apart brawl with him and Samoa Joe, who, minutes before, obliterated two guys at once?
Titus and.
Apollo. Balor is left standing tall on there, so.
But doesn't it kind of come off.
And I don't.
It comes across as like, what was the point then? Did you need to sacrifice him?
No, you didn't need to, but it's what they chose to do, and I don't think anyone is looking at Balor less now.
But you would agree with me in saying that the booking in WWE right now is at best confusing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Allie, you agree with that?
Yeah.
The way they booked the women's stuff, the way they booked the title stuff, like something is going on over there that's insane. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn sent home from the European tour. For reasons we don't know.
Yeah.
But there's something there. There's just something happening in WWE right now that it's kind of unprecedented, as far as I can remember, where every week it's like something.
Oh, it's wrestling in general. Like it's not even just WWE. Like I'm so anxious to talk about the actual biggest story that we have. But like
which is coming up next.
The Sami KO thing, where it's been confirmed that they were sent home. They're sent back to America from the European tour. The going theory, which is from a guy from Sports Illustrated who has a spotty record.
Is this the same guy that we've talked about before?
No,
the show?
It is not.
Okay.
Because we would not be talking about the story at all if it was that guy.
Okay.
He's 100% blacklisted. But he's spotty at best, but he's saying it's because they went into business for themselves on SmackDown. The reason I don't fully buy that is because, yes, there was the satellite feed that went out, but the version that aired in America was pre-recorded. It wasn't live. They could have edited it.
They could have reshot it. They've done it before.
The segment itself looked weird. And so, I mean, but, and I don't know how much there is that they could have done, but they could have done something as opposed to just, well, just leave it.
So this segments fall flat.
Yeah. And this feels like a petty Vince move. He didn't get enough sleep in the European tour. He's jet lagged. He's cranky. Well, the first person he sees, he's going to take it out on. Like, I could see that, but I could also, if they did, you know, if that is what happened and they went off script, then yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
I mean, and the rumor is that they're unhappy because Jimmy Jacobs, when he left, they were friends with him. They're friends with Neville, but this is all just speculation. Like,
right.
You have and to assume that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are more professional than to do that.
Especially because, like, it's been their dream to work at WWE.
And now they're working together in a angle that's really good.
Yeah.
Together.
Which just coming out, they're working with Shane McMahon.
Right.
Kevin Owens just headbutted Vince McMahon. Like,
yeah. There's absolutely no reason that at the height of their, like, story arc, mm-hmm. that they would just go, well, I'm pissed now, so I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no mass exodus from the WWE.
Right.
And no matter what the rumors say, you know, although and the internet's spotty right now, so let me pull this up. That does bring me to a thing I want to talk about. You have it on the list. Let's just bring it up real quick. That Austin Aries, the speculation was that he asked for his release. He wanted to be gone from WWE.
Mm-hmm.
He did it was Talk Is Jericho.
Talk Is Jericho.
And said that he did not ask for his release. They released him.
Yeah. Which, that's what Meltzer said. Like, Meltzer said it was one of those things where they were unhappy with him because of his attitude. He was unhappy there because he didn't want to be on 205 Live. He didn't want to be a face, you know, so it kind of ended up being a mutual thing. But the reason that was given is creative has nothing for you, which imagine
that
for Austin Aries.
Right.
You have nothing for Austin Aries. Get out of here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he confirmed that, which again, that's his side of the story. It's. Take it with a grain of salt. But
why would he lie?
Yeah,
In a case like this, where, like, it almost seems worse for him that he didn't ask for his release, you know?
I guess that's true. As opposed to just like, I was unhappy, so I left the biggest company in the world.
Right, as opposed to them saying, like, no, they let me go because I was being a dick.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of what it sounds. And if that's what Zayn and Owens are doing now, one, I don't believe it.
I don't either.
But we'll stay tuned.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens. Because you never know. There are legitimately things in this business that surprise us to this day.
Yes.
Like, for instance.
Yes.
Asa, the biggest news coming out of wrestling this week, I think, hands down.
Oh yeah, no, there's
Brian
no...
Hebner gone. No.
I will kill you.
I'm so sorry. Please go ahead.
I will fight you.
Are you surprised he did that bit?
A little, because I'm disappointed. But I'm less surprised than more disappointed.
He does a bit like that, like, all the time.
He does, but now it's over, so we're gonna talk about it. It was New Japan Pro Wrestling had Power Struggle this past weekend.
Yeah.
Which is a lead up show building up to Wrestle Kingdom 12. And part of that was after the Kenny Omega match, him and the Bucks are celebrating in the ring, the lights go out. Everyone thinks it's the Switchblade reveal, which it's not. We'll cover that in a second too. But it is, you can hear, like, I feel like, Judas played in, like, was in the video package. You get the five, the four, the
countdown. Yeah.
And it's Chris friggin' Jericho.
Yeah.
It shows up. Doesn't show up, but it has a video package in New Japan Pro Wrestling where he talks about, and like the promo is amazing. You can
and
find
he looks
it online.
So cool too, by the way.
He does.
Like the lighting, I don't want to get into that because it seems minor, but the way they shot him, the way he presented himself, the lighting, everything worked to make him look so badass.
Yeah. And, you know, and 100%. And so he goes on to talk about, like, you think you're the best in the world. Lots of guys said they were the best in the world.
Name drop CM Punk.
Shawn Michaels. Edge and CM Punk, they all said they were the best in the world. They're not around anymore. I am. I've been doing this for more than a decade. Like, I've been doing this for decades, just going on and on. You know, you're Kenny Omega. Well, I am the alpha of pro wrestling. So at Wrestle Kingdom 12, I'm challenging you, the alpha versus the omega, which that tagline.
That's a headline right there.
Holy.
There's your banner.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. The promo gave me goosebumps. The moment, like, gave me goosebumps. When I read the headline, I didn't believe it. I was like, well, that can't be. Oh, cause I saw the poster first. And I was like, oh, that would be a cool fan. That's a cool fan poster.
Yeah.
Like, that would be neat.
That's like the Sting Undertaker poster that came out years ago where it's like, oh, that's incredible.
Oh, Alpha versus Omega. That sounds awesome. Yeah, that'd be cool. Why is there a video attached? What is happening? Just, I couldn't believe it.
You waited for the twist. That it wasn't Jericho, that it was like.
I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was gonna be.
Well, I saw you guys post about it in the group chat.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all thought, I mean, it's not a surprise that Jericho was gonna fight Omega. We all thought he was gonna fight him at the cruise.
Right.
That was our belief. That was my pick.
Right.
That he was gonna fight him on the cruise.
They even did the little fake. He's like, boat thing. I know where we can settle this boat.
But no, Wrestle Kingdom 12 instead.
Yeah. you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling's biggest event of the year, not even arguably, the second biggest wrestling event of the year.
And the card already is stacked. Like, yes. This is WrestleMania caliber. Because
it is starting.
This is over WrestleMania caliber.
It's starting to build up. It's, you know, because we know for sure it's Okada versus Naito.
Yeah.
Which already on its own is a huge match.
Cody Rhodes will more than likely be there.
Yeah.
The Young Bucks are taking on, I can't pronounce this. Roppongi
3.0 or 3000, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a big, big card.
Yeah.
My question to you and to Allie, both of you, and I wish Dalton were here to talk about this, and he may have left a note about this because he did leave some notes. And the big question I think on everyone's lips is, does this hurt Chris Jericho's chances with WWE? Is that relationship soured? Will Vince take this personally? Because from what we understand, again, this is speculation, but it's good speculation. This is firsthand accounts that Chris Jericho went to Omega, talked about it. They went to the New Japan promoter. Mm-hmm. They did all this without Vince McMahon's knowledge. WWE had nothing to do with this. If you think this is, oh, we're going to see Omega in WWE now, maybe this is a trade-off, because that was Ace and I's first thought. Doesn't look like it. It looks like this was done behind WWE's back. So will this hurt Chris Jericho in WWE? Will we see him again?
I don't think it matters. Like, I don't think there's anything left for him to do in WWE. Like, win the Rumble. That's about it.
Yeah. Main Event Mania. Did he Main Event Mania?
I don't think technically. Like, I think
Was it a four-way match that one time?
I don't remember. This is why we need Dalton here.
God, I wish Dalton were here.
But,
Allie, be Dalton.
Just know stuff.
Google.
But so it's one of those things where, cause he went to Triple H and Vince and wanted to take NXT people on this cruise.
The cruise, yeah.
I
apologize, I'm sorry.
Which I totally get. Like, I get why WWE would not lease out some of their talent for an event that they're not getting any money off of for what is being called the Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. So they're basically sending their guys on a booze cruise.
Yeah.
Like, I get why they're gonna say no to this.
Plane Ride from Hell Part 2.
Yeah.
On a boat. Boat ride.
Wrestlers on a boat.
Stop. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got cough again.
So I get why they said no, but apparently he did say, okay, well, I'm going to go forward with this, whether or not you guys approve.
Cause he doesn't have to. He's a free agent.
Right. He does not have a contract with WWE right now, as far as we know. He wasn't even supposed to be on that SmackDown where he, got pinned for the United States Championship and that triple threat with AJ and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
So, and the
internet not working for you.
No.
More and more names have slowly been brought up for this this cruise that he's doing, which the last one we talked about last week, I think, was Marty Scurll.
Yeah.
Well, the Young Bucks and Cody and Brandi Rhodes also have officially been announced for this cruise. So, I mean, I gotta imagine that Vince isn't happy with him.
Right.
But at the same time, and it's so surprising because Jericho has said so many times he has no interest in going anywhere else. He is a WWE guy through and through.
But this is also a one-time thing from what we understand.
Yeah.
It's a one-time thing. And you said it best. Jericho has nothing left to do in WWE. He really doesn't. So it's kind of like The Rock, where WWE needs Jericho more than Jericho needs WWE. Jericho has a legendary career, many titles. He's got his band Fozzy. They're doing well. There's nothing left for him to do. If he went back to WWE, I can't imagine a scenario, and maybe even his run with Kevin Owens was good. It was great. But it doesn't have the impact as Jericho versus Omega at Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of the only things he could do that would really shock people anymore, and Jericho loves to be fresh and shocking.
I can't disagree with Dalton when he says that this is the biggest non-WWE match in the last decade.
I completely agree. And we're talking about AJ Styles versus Nakamura. We're talking about Okada versus Omega.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this... It trumps them all.
But it's that surprise value because again, Jericho has always been such a company guy and has been so vocal about how, why would I wrestle anywhere else? And so part of me almost thinks that this might be like, maybe this is an olive branch with WWE sending the cease and desist and all of that. Like maybe this is a way to kind of build a relationship between WWE and New Japan. That's what I'm hoping for. Like honestly, like I would love for it to be that, but I don't know. I can't say with any confidence that that's what I think it is.
Yeah.
That feels like the naive, like, fan in me that's hoping that.
It also makes me worried that I still want to see Jericho in WWE. You know, like, I still want to see him back.
Because,
again, we've said it before. we're not WWE marks per se. It's just WWE is so much more available and accessible to us than New Japan Pro Wrestling or Ring of Honor.
Right.
So Jericho on TV is more likely for us to see it on WWF television. But at the same time, this is one of the coolest things I've seen in so long. This is the kind of thing that really makes you love being a wrestling fan.
Yeah. No,
the surprise of it. A legitimate surprise.
Yeah. This was, no one was expecting this at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
And yeah, just holy crap.
Allie.
It looks like he was in the main event of WrestleMania 26.
Against?
I saw somewhere Edge. It wasn't a title match, but it was the main event.
That doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound right.
The third.
We'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dalton, please confirm. Wait, this isn't live.
This is Wikipedia.
Oh, well, I mean, there. Mm. Speaking of Japan, some other news out of Japan. Manami Toyota has retired.
Yes.
That actually means a lot to me because do you remember WCW versus NWO World Tour?
Yes.
The first one, not Revenge.
No.
I
remember the first one. Or I remember the second one, sorry.
Because Revenge was better. But she was in that game as one of the unlockable characters, and that was the first time I had ever seen her. Mm-hmm. And that inspired me to look her up because she was like the only female character in the game. And you could play as her. So I was like, who is this? And I knew they were based on real people because like Muhammad Ali was in it and, Taka Michinoku and people like that. Oh God, what?
I'm an idiot. WrestleMania 18, Chris Jericho versus Triple H.
This also says it was a WrestleMania that had three main matches.
Oh, triple main event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. So it was one of those.
But yeah, Ace is also right. You're both technically right. Anyway. So yeah, Toyota, is one of the most legendary women wrestlers and, my favorite character from World Tour. And it's, God, she has wrestled for
30 years.
Yeah.
It was a 30 year career. And one of my favorite things that every time I've seen someone talk about her is they're not saying like, oh, she's one of the greatest, like they're saying she's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. They're not saying she's one of the greatest women's wrestler of all time. Just. No, wrestlers. She's just one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. She's invented a bunch of moves. Like, she's had such a storied career. I am not super familiar with her work.
Mm.
Like, it's a name that I recognize, and I know certain things that I've seen of her and have just been blown away by. So it's one of those things where I've kind of started going down the rabbit hole.
And we definitely recommend you guys, if you're listening to this and you don't know her, look her up.
Yes, absolutely. Go out of your way to look up,
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Definitely a precursor to like your Asukas or your Kairi Sane's, you know. She's a trailblazer in Japan wrestling.
It kind of sucks because this is happening within 2 weeks of Gail Kim retiring.
Mm.
Because, you know, you don't want to take anything away from her, but yeah, holy crap. Just, it's a huge deal and she is a legit greatest wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
Person, I mean, you can have the conversation.
To put her in the game when so few people in America, especially at the time, because Japanese wrestling wasn't as prevalent in the United States as it is now. You know, now it's much easier to see Japanese wrestling. Back then it was not. So to put her in the game and to have her there, and, I think that speaks to her greatness that they would put her on the same, like, unlockable screen as Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about that. While we're talking about Gail Kim, and that reminds me of TNA, which is now, of course, Anthem Wrestling. And we have some Anthem news. Before we get to Bound for Glory, because there are some things we want to talk about for there for sure.
Yes, there are.
We want to mention that Rockstar Spud, Bram, where's it, Brom?
Bram.
It's Bram. Earl Hebner and Brian Hebner all gone from Impact. And the big rumor, I don't know if it's a rumor or a fact at this point, is that Rockstar Spud will be signing with WWE to go to 205 Live.
PW Insider has confirmed it. They don't cite a source, but they are...
Grain of salt.
Their site is atrocious, especially if you try to use mobile.
Yo, you like ads? Do you like ads?
No.
Okay.
That's why it's atrocious. Because you can't read, you get to see like three words. It's like just the terrible 90s comedian pop-up thing.
Yeah.
It's basically that.
It's a NASCAR car.
They thought that was a great idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Rockstar Spud was actually let go. He was granted his release because he asked for his release. That happened on like the 30th, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we had a chance to mention it. But it's kind of interesting to mention because I don't think we talked about, Taryn Terrell.
She's also gone.
She's also gone, but that was because they were doing all these filmings, these tapings in Canada, which she's not allowed in Canada.
I think we did mention that because we mentioned that it was similar
That's
to Cornette.
That's why. Okay. Yeah. And then also, but so Earl Hebner, Brian Hebner, and two other referees have also all been released in the last couple weeks.
Earl Hebner really surprises me. I can see it both ways in the sense that Earl Hebner is probably the most well-known referee of all time, other than maybe Nick Patrick, Charles Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you could probably get someone else to do his job for cheaper. How much of a name value does he really bring? And I like Earl Hebner. I always have. Like, he's one of the most recognizable refs ever. I knew Earl Hebner. Well, I didn't know him personally. But you also have to look at it from a financial standpoint. If you're Anthem and you're clearly trying to cut costs and you're trying to make it profitable, where can you cut costs? And I think Hebner was a victim of that. That's all.
I mean, yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong.
Allie's kicked back.
But it seems weird.
She's done.
It seems weird that this many referees
that they would all get exiled.
That are all, and apparently Brian and Earl also asked for their release. So this
sinking
may not,
ship.
I don't want to say sinking ship at all, but maybe just certain restructuring of, like, if they change the way the referees are being compensated.
Right.
Maybe if Brian was unhappy, Earl wanted to leave with him as support. Right. Like, there's so many things this could be. We don't want to speculate what that is.
That's not what this show's about.
No, yeah.
This ain't speculation.
I very much am trying to keep this show more of what we have as, like, concrete facts. We will mention, like, potential speculation, but only if we can back it up.
Right.
Like, that's why, you know, the thing with the Sports Illustrated we talked about a couple weeks ago. Like,
yeah. And we also don't like to get scuzzy.
Right.
Here's a scuzzy story I'm going to throw out. And I'm going to – no. This is legitimate. More leaks happened last week of a couple different people. I will not name names, but I ask that you don't go look at them. That's all. That's all I want to say about it. Like, don't support this kind of stuff. Even if you like these people and you think they're attractive and you they don't owe you anything, first off. And don't support this kind of journalism. This isn't journalism.
It's theft.
This is theft and it's trash. So that's all. That's all I wanted to say.
No, yeah, we've said it before. Someone who's proud about finding those things, you're disgusting.
It's also a violation.
Yeah. Absolutely. Whether it's Hulk Hogan or the people in this, like, whoever it is, it's trash. It is trash. Okay. Moving on to not trash news. Stephen Amell going to appear at Ring of Honor on November 17th.
Yes.
Makes me a little sad, actually. Is this with Cody Rhodes?
He is a very strong proponent of the Bullet Club.
Hmm.
So probably he'll do something with Cody Rhodes because Cody Rhodes has been in Arrow a couple times.
And they had that angle before, of course.
Right, at WWE. Yeah. But the reason that this is newsworthy is normally, Stephen Amell's going to be at ROH, that's cool. This is the show that's going head-to-head against NXT in San Antonio. So they're just kind of keep.
And this is the non-televised show, right?
NXT. No, this is just a house show.
This is the NXT house show.
Yeah.
Where they have Shawn Michaels and,
as the guest ref for. Yeah. Yeah. And they've also added, like, they added a UK championship match, I think, or a UK tag team guy.
Which is cool. I love Pete Dunne, by the way. Really do. The Bruiserweight's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Raw this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even though I really wish they come up with that UK show because I would love to see what they could do separately, I thought it was a cool segment. I have nothing to say about this other than I like Pete Dunne. That's it. One more release to talk about, and that's Sawyer Fulton, gone from NXT.
Yes.
Not a huge surprise.
It's kind of
unfortunate.
I mean, I would say it's a little surprising because, you know, it seemed like he was just about ready to come back from injury.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the original members of Sanity.
Yes.
So,
before Killian Dane took his spot, yes. Right? Yeah.
So yeah, it's one of those, I was kind of surprised to see it. I'm a little disappointed because I would have liked to see, I like what Sanity is doing. They've grown on me. I'm still not a fan of the music. I'm still not a fan of
the gimmicky,
what they are.
Yeah.
But now that they're being portrayed more as faces.
They have a mission statement almost.
Yeah. Now that they actually have a purpose,
yeah,
and they have a feud, I'm way more into it as opposed to just generic anarchists who are attacking people.
And especially because at first, for me, the reason I liked Sanity was strictly based on the fact that I liked the individual wrestlers. And it's kind of like, you put some of the wrestlers I really like together in a stable, that's really cool now. I love Eric Young. Killian Dane grew on me quite a bit. Nikki Cross is really cool. The other guy's good. Alexander Wolf, I know. I'm just messing with you. Like, it's a cool group, and I'm glad that they have something more to do.
Yeah.
That's
also
very, very cool.
I think I know why he was released, because as I was typing up these notes, I just want to point out that the L and the K are right next to each other. I'm going to let you guys put
where
that one
am
together.
What am I looking at?
His name's Sawyer Fulton. Because you can make it sound like a bad word.
Yeah.
It literally took me that entire time to get
there.
Sure
did.
And now I'm gonna say the name tomorrow on the Thursday show. So if you want to know what Ace is talking about, tune in tomorrow when I say the F word during Pokemon Week month. Ric Flair's 30 for 30 aired tonight.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Last night.
Yeah.
I heard it's really good. You said Hulk Hogan's on it.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan's in it. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Sting, The Undertaker.
Pretty much all the people, the legends. Arn Anderson, hopefully?
No. He appears, but, well, I mean, no way, yeah, he does. I think he does, briefly. He's not a big one. So, but there are some notable exceptions. No one from WCW, aside from Sting. No Eric Bischoff, no Kevin Nash, Hogan's there, but, like, no management people from WCW are there. Greg Gagne's in it. That was cool. And also, Vince McMahon's not in it. Basically, they're using Triple H. Which, and I get it, because Triple H has that...
He has a connection to Ric Flair.
He has that friendship with Ric Flair, and they kind of get into that, especially in, as it goes on, it almost gets a little uncomfortable to watch.
Really? Well, because yeah, they delve into Flair.
They talk about his personal life.
Talk about his son, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and they do talk about Reed quite a bit, and, you know, it's... I legitimately kind of teared up on my desk when they got to that part, because the guy... I won't spoil it for anyone, but the guy asked him, is there anything that you would... If he was here, that you would say to him? And he answers that question, and it's... rough, but it's also like, yeah, that's correct. So it's one of those things where they don't really hold back on the kind of man that Ric Flair was out of the ring, but they kind of
make him sympathetic.
Not sympathetic, but they just, it's just that boys will be boys attitude, and it's just like, nah, that was...
It's when people say it was a different time.
Yeah.
It was a different generation.
Right.
That's not really an excuse, though.
No, he loved wrestling. That's why he slept with 10,000 women.
Allegedly.
Because he loved... That's straight from his mouth.
No, well, lots...
That is his realistic estimate. But also,
I think someone did the math on that.
But he was also married through a good stretch of that time.
Right.
And they very much... Like, they have his ex-wives on there, and it's like, yeah, it really sucked that he hated being home so much, and he just wanted to drink and be with other women.
He lived the gimmick.
Yeah, and
the
it's
limo,
just,
the
so,
limo stealing, kiss driving, party darn.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's
not what it is.
It wasn't hard to watch, but it was just one of those things like, ah, you're kind of making this sound like it's awesome. And then they get into this whole thing like, Reed thought it was awesome, and he wanted to do that. And, yeah.
So they build it up like it's great, and then they point out...
It's not that they build it up like it's great, they just... I'm not saying that you should make a documentary and chastise the guy while you're talking to him.
But don't glorify his lifestyle.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too sensitive on it. Like, maybe I'm in the wrong, and that's fine. I'm willing to admit that, like, wholeheartedly. It's just, it struck me weird.
Mm-hmm.
It was very well done. I know Cody had mentioned that he wasn't a huge fan of the fact that they left out a lot of they mentioned WCW. But they don't spend a whole lot of time with it.
And that's insane to me because of how much Ric Flair was WCW to a lot of people. And like Sting and Ric Flair, they were WCW, you know? Yeah. So that to gloss over WCW, I think is a mistake.
But what they do focus on is the fact that like, okay, so WWF has Hogan and that's aimed at kids. WCW and NWA had the Ric Flair and Steamboat. And that was at the dads. Like, that was for adults. That was wrestling. And this idea that, you know, you never really got, you know, there was supposed to be the main event, Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan. But no, we're going to do it on house shows. And that's the one where I think Flair wrestled Macho Man and Hogan. I don't remember who Hogan wrestled.
I think we didn't get Flair and Hogan until...
WCW.
Yeah. And then then SmackDown years after. And then TNA years after.
But it happened in WWF, but never on like a big grand, like a big during the, marquee
the,
stage.
The prime time of
when
their careers.
Should have happened.
Yeah. Because
that's something even like they said. It's like, yeah, like Hogan said. It's like, yeah, it happened, but it was like 10 years after it should have.
Right.
And then they kind of go into how WCW at the end totally mistreated Flair. And
oh, yeah.
Like,
you know, it's...
They push for him to retire, and then 5 years later, he's still the guy that they're asking to go out there and pop a rating.
I sometimes forget that Flair was even in WWF during the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't like a quick hit and run. He was there for a while and he did some good stuff. He worked with Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
One of my favorite angles was with him and Perfect. They were so good together and he had the gold belt, you know, that he brought in and said, I'm the true champion.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, looking back, if you look at WWE and slash WWF's history of what they could have done, but didn't for whatever reason, whether it be money or just being vindictive, man, you will go insane with rage. Allie, do me a favor. Don't ever read the book, The Death of WCW, and don't ever read about The Invasion.
Live a better life.
The Invasion is something you don't need to know about. Trust me.
No, yeah, it's, you're not wrong.
Bigger people than you have been killed by it. Anyway, moving on. We said we were going to talk about Bound for Glory. Let's talk about Bound for Glory real quick. And your first reaction is, do we have to? Yes.
No, like, I want to talk about it. I was so disappointed overall. Like, this was Impact's big chance.
This is their WrestleMania.
This is their WrestleMania. Yeah. This is the biggest show of the year that they do. And they absolutely had an opportunity to blow people away. They have the roster to do it. They could have totally, no, we know what you associate with our brand. This is going to prove that wrong. And what do? Their main event is a run-in with Alberto El Patron attacking both men and then dragging Eli Drake over Johnny Impact after a ref bump.
Yeah.
No. Like, one, him, like, and he was already there. Patron made an appearance earlier in the show and cut this really bad, like, pipe bomb-y attempt promo at, like, oh, no one in the, I was unfairly suspended. I didn't even do anything wrong. I was stripped of the title. No one even texted or called me to see how I was. He teased attacking Borash. It was stupid.
It came across as forced. We've said it before.
Yeah.
When someone cuts an organic pipe bomb like CM Punk when he did his pipe bomb, there's a reason that it's called a pipe bomb because his was so good. You could tell when Alberto Patron came out there that it was just like, here's your lines. Go out there and try to be tough.
Well, and the problem with this is all like legit. This is like a legitimate gripe that he could have. Is like, oh no, it was proved that I did nothing wrong. There's no reason for me to have been stripped of the title. There's no reason that I should have been suspended. So they could have built on that, but it didnn't feel good. It wasn't good.
The rest of the show, from what I understand, was good to okay.
It was okay. The X Division Championship match was really, really good. It was cool to see Sami Callihan.
Yeah.
Cause he joined up with OVE. They tried to do like a double turn against LAX. Didn't land. Mm. Like it wasn't super. But they did a better job of it. I read the spoilers for the tapings coming up. And so, I mean, it's mind boggling because like from what I've read of the first taping of Impact, that's what we should have done at Bound for Glory.
Right.
But
this isn't the first time they've done that.
But they also brought back the turkey suit for whoever lost the food fight for Thanksgiving. So that's coming up too.
So if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, when TNA became Impact, Anthem, we talked about that too, didn't we? Like their first show, like the turnaround show, was just nonsense. It was more of the same.
Yeah.
It's like every time they get an opportunity to flip the script, they just go with the tried and true, which is not working.
Because this is no Dixie, no Jarrett, no Russo.
Everyone's gone.
No Hogan. No
Hogan, no Bischoff. Everyone's out of it.
Everyone's gone. This is a chance for them to really do something special.
No Corgan.
That's
the bad one. Yeah.
Don't remind me. So yeah, overall, I was disappointed in it, which is a bummer because like their roster is so good and everyone worked so hard that it could have, Gail Kim did win the Knockouts title, in what is probably going to be her retirement match, which is a super cool moment, which,
like Trish Stratus.
Also it moved on super quick. Like there wasn't a huge like celebration.
They
like,
didn't hang on it. And
yeah,
and
like and they could have. I was also very wrong because I assumed that the Grado Abyss match was going to be the Broken Hardys pre-filmed kind of thing. Mm. And it was just kind of like a death match. Garbage match. I wasn't a huge fan of it, unfortunately.
Abyss just needs to come back to CCW.
He does. Full time.
Yeah, full time.
Make it happen.
Big guy. He's so big.
He's so big. Mm. One cool thing about it though is, let me find where it was in the show. The Global Forged winner, Hakeem Zayn was shown in the crowd and that name might sound familiar because he's been up at Glory Pro when Dalton and I have gone.
Oh, cool.
So it's super cool to see him actually, you know, be
on TV.
Shown on like this pay-per-view and he does stuff with in the coming weeks too.
It's always so weird whenever we see people that we've met through CCW, Glory Pro, Stride, and then they go to TV the first time, especially like Kyle O'Reilly. We were like, we were just hanging out with that dude a couple of months ago.
Well, and like,
and now Kyle O'Reilly's on NXT.
Right. Well, don't get it twisted. Like, I have not said a single word to Hakeem Zayn. Like, he's not like friend of the show, Hakeem Zayn.
It's yeah, he is.
Like, wink.
I'm winking at you.
But no, it's just crazy to think that like, oh yeah, no, we just saw you up in Alton. And he's really good. Like, he's super good. So I'm excited for him to get a platform to really show what he can do. So, but yeah, that was the big stuff coming out of Bound for Glory. Just
most of it's just the disappointment of the you had a chance, but now you have no chance because you got them Patron asses.
I mean, I'm still
gonna, you're trying to push.
I'm still gonna try to support them because competition is good.
Yeah.
And again, like that roster is so good. It's baffling that they don't know what they're doing with them seemingly.
Especially when they let guys go. Like I'm not super familiar with Rockstar Spud, but I have seen some of his work and I found him entertaining.
It's weird to see him coming to WWE when WWE has Ellsworth. And maybe that's not a fair comparison because Impact and TNA did let Rockstar do a lot more in-ring stuff. He was the X Division champion for a while.
Going to 205 Live, especially.
He had a really good feud. I liked his feud with EC3 a lot. But the last thing he did was he was the valet for Aaron Rex.
Formerly known as Damian Sandow in WWE.
And he also, the last thing I think we saw him was he was feuding with Swoggle. And Swoggle like busted his kneecaps with a hammer. So, But he has a good energy.
I feel dirty now. Hey, guess who else is going to 205 Live? Hideo Itami. That's the big rumor.
Yeah. Apparently that was supposed to happen last night, or the decision was made last night.
So,
but it didn't.
Not to spend too much time on this, but how do you feel about that? Questions. Does it devalue Hideo Itami or does it boost 205 Live, or am I wrong on both counts?
Yes.
Gotcha.
No.
Gotcha.
No. If they treat him well, like they treated Austin Aries well for the most part, treated Neville well. The problem is we've seen like people are speculating like, oh, well, but when he moves on from 205 Live, it'll really give him a boost. Like, yeah, but who's moved on from 205 Live?
No one.
Well, Neville and Austin Aries have, just they've moved on out of the company.
Well, Neville's still not released though.
No, yeah.
He's still on the roster, isn't he?
He has not been officially released.
Yeah. So who knows? I mean, we said the same thing about Paige for months, like, oh, was she gone?
Yeah.
The speculation was there. So maybe Neville will surprise us, but I don't think so.
But I mean, Hideo Itami, I don't think they're going to put the NXT championship on him.
So do you think the ship has sailed in NXT for Hideo Itami?
In NXT, yeah. I think if he comes in and he's treated well in 205 Live, he'll do great. And I think he is a big enough name that people will tune in to see what he does there.
Kind of like with Enzo or Neville or those guys. Yeah.
So, I mean, I want to be optimistic about it. I know that he could do so much better. But at the same time, if he's a highlight on 205 Live, is that worse than what Ty Dillinger is doing on SmackDown right now?
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, you could be doing nothing really, or this little bit of something. I don't know.
Big,
what is it? And 205 Live is good.
It could be better.
Yeah.
Like, it always, we talk about Impact and the roster it has.
It could be treated better.
Yeah, look
at
the roster you have in 205 Live. That is a stacked roster. After we saw the Cruiserweight Classic, these guys we all fell in love with, you know how hard they can go. Just give them some good characters, give them some story and some time. And man, that show could be like, that could be the hidden gem in weekly WWE television. It's like, I want to watch 205 Live. Kind of like NXT used to be.
And it kind of is. Like,
but it could be better.
205 Live, yeah. This last show they did was really interesting because it had the UK guys in it.
Yeah.
So.
Which, by the way, speaking of NXT and UK, Johnny Gargano versus Pete Dunne added to NXT War Games.
And
that's cool.
For the United Kingdom Championship. That's amazing. Awesome. Like, that, Dalton said that's going to be the match that steals the show.
He could be right.
Well, oh no, he won't be though.
What?
Because this isn't on the network. This is a special attraction for live fans.
Why?
I don't get it.
I don't either.
What the ever loving. I did love the idea that someone on Reddit posted where they're like, no, I want Gargano to win, but then have to pretend that he's British to keep it. So have him be billed from jolly old Cleveland.
And have him do the fake British accent.
And have him do a fake accent the entire time. That's amazing.
Just put more work into that than the writers and WWE did. The creative.
I just stole it from Reddit. If WWE stole from Reddit,
imagine how good and also terrible it could be.
Yeah.
You know, with some of those ideas.
Speaking of things that aren't going to be, that are huge deals that aren't going to be on TV, Ric Flair is making his first WWE appearance since his health scare at Starrcade. Which, that's a weird sentence to say. Just
Ric Flair making his first
WWE appearance at Starrcade.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's still, as far as we know, is still not going to be aired on the network.
Again, decisions. Dalton said that the title stuff is confusing to him.
Mm-hmm.
everything's confusing to me in a way. A lot of it's very confusing. They did kind of a little of the confusion go because they did announce the rules for War Games. And I read this, but I don't remember it. Do you have those available?
It's basically, so it's the normal War Games thing where it's not normal because instead of having two big teams, it's three smaller teams.
Right.
One man from each team is going to start the match. And then after a certain timer, like, I don't remember what the time limit is, so I'm sorry. But after a set amount of time passes, it will, I don't remember how they're determining who it is either.
Is it random?
I don't know if it's random or if they're doing something
Can
on NXT
Google
to,
this?
No, it's unimportant.
Fine. Just so, but after a set amount of time, the remaining members of one team will then be allowed into the cage. And then after another set amount of time, the remaining members of the second team. And so they're kind of doing all for one instead of one more at a time.
So this is going to end up with that the third team is going to only have one guy in there for the almost entire match.
Right. And the first team but it's also worth noting that pinfall and submission cannot happen until all members are in the match.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's just a big ass kicking.
Even though this could end up as a 3-on-1 situation, that they can't truly capitalize on it.
They can beat the crap out of you to the point that you can't
fight. And do both guys and then wait for the next two to come in.
That's a cool dynamic. Like, it makes me excited to watch the match.
It's super interesting.
Yeah.
I'm very much on board. And the way, like, William Regal read off the rules was,
William Regal.
The way he made the announcement, because that was actually this week.
Again, William Regal.
Yeah.
Anything.
Or last week, I'm sorry.
I could watch someone pee in that guy's coffee and him drink it and I'd be entertained.
Cause it's William Regal.
Cause that actually happened with Chris Jericho. Anyway, one last thing before we talk about, we got some Raw, SmackDown, and the Survivor Series card. And then, two more things actually. That is one, Sin Cara injured his leg in Madrid. And I love the way you wrote this. Sin Cara injured leg in Madrid. Gross. Cleared to wrestle next week though.
Yeah, because the picture was going around and it looked real bad.
But I guess it didn't hurt him enough that he can't wrestle.
He wasn't actually injured because he's being billed as wrestling Baron Corbin for the U.S. title next week.
I'm gonna have to look at the picture, but I probably won't want to.
Yeah, it's not
okay,
super.
Looking
which maybe,
it up now.
Maybe it's better because knowing that, oh no, he's okay. He just had a rough couple days. Then it won't be so bad. But
that's how I look at every video. It's like, did he die? No, then I'll look at the video.
I'm loving that they're actually using Sin Cara again. I've been a huge fan of Hunico since he was Hunico.
Mm-hmm.
His original gimmick wasn't great, and I was hoping that once original Sin Cara left, that they could go back to Hunico. But I think he's crazy underrated, and the intensity that he showed after Corbin went after his mask, so good.
Yeah, I see the injury. That's a twisted leg right there.
Yeah, nothing is supposed to move that direction.
Allie's looking at it now. That's something you would see on one of those videos I show you guys.
And that's why when it's like, hey, he injured his leg in Madrid, it's like, yeah, well, bye.
Asa, how do you feel about Triple H appearing at an ICW show?
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I just think that's super cool.
Cooler than him joining the Shield?
Oh my God, why do you do this?
It was very cool. It was very cool.
And him even saying, like, you know, wrestling starts here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We've said it before, the indies are getting just so much love.
Oh yeah. No, this is the golden age of professional wrestling. There's no, you can't argue that. Like, yeah, what WWE is doing now may not be as good as, or you may not like what WWE is doing now as much as what happened in the 80s or the 90s or the early 2000s even, but for independent wrestling, the amount of, you know, Meltzer has said it multiple times, 2017 has the best matches that have ever happened.
Yeah. It's unprecedented.
It's insane. So we're lucky that it's happening while all of these streaming services available on YouTube and just, it's so cool.
Yeah.
Wrestling's neat.
God, it's so good to hear you say that after, like,
I'm a fan.
After 2 years ago when you were just like, never again.
I'm not talking about WWE.
Talking about WWE, let's talk about the Survivor Series card, because it's coming up. It's pretty soon.
Yeah, it's...
When is it?
I think it's the 26th.
Oh, God, the night after CCW?
Yeah.
Because I think they're doing the thing again where it's... we're going to miss TakeOver because of...
CCW?
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving, Black Friday, CCW, WWE. That's 4 days in a row.
And then Cyber Monday.
Oh, no, I'm super wrong. Sunday, November 19th.
Oh, thank God.
I was crazy off. I'm sorry.
So 2 weeks.
I was like, that doesn't sound right, but, yeah, so it's coming up. And the card is just in shambles at this point.
Yeah.
From what was originally announced to what is currently going on is pretty nuts. We have the women's champion Alexa Bliss versus the SmackDown women's champion Natalya or Charlotte Flair because they're wrestling next week. IC champion The Miz versus Baron Corbin or Sin Cara because they're wrestling next week. We already talked about it was going to be Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal, but then AJ Styles beat him, so now it's Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles. The Raw Tag Team Champions was originally going to be The Shield against the Usos, but Under Siege Part 2 with the New Day, and they cost inadvertently, but so now it's going to be Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Usos. Either of those teams, either the Usos versus The Bar or The Shield, I'm happy with. That match is going to be stupid good.
Well, I kind of like this because now you have The Bar versus the Usos, which is going to be stupid good. Mm-hmm. And the big rumor is that it's going to now be The Shield versus the New Day.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. Because now you have the two most dominant three-person teams
right. In
possibly history going up against each other. Also, yes, I'm doing the Ninja Turtle.
Because Roman Reigns was announced, he is going to be back on Raw on Monday.
Hopefully so.
No, it was announced.
Oh, it is? Okay.
He, cool. Like, WWE announced his return. Good. They didn't make a big deal about it, which is surprising.
Because Bo Dallas is back.
Yes.
And Bo, I think, was one of the people quarantined, wasn't he? Yeah.
But so. He was also quarantined way early.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good. One, it's good to have Roman back.
Yeah.
Like, that's
and that's
good
a dream matchup. New Day versus Shield.
Yeah.
That's a dream matchup. That's going to get the This Is Awesome chant before the match ever starts.
But that's also one that I would love to get more than a week build.
Yeah.
Like, than a 1 week build. Then there's going to be the Team Raw women's match, which is Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Asuka, Sasha Banks, and ? Versus Team SmackDown, Becky Lynch, Carmella, Charlotte Flair, Naomi, and Tamina.
Or maybe Natalya instead of Charlotte Flair, if Charlotte wins the title, probably.
Yes. Yeah, those will probably swap.
I heard there was a lot of drama with the creative team because they didn't want Asuka on any team because they can't have her lose.
Right.
But they also didn't want SmackDown to just automatically assume they were going to lose because Asuka was on the opposite team.
Well, they did the same thing with Braun Strowman last year. So yeah. Strowman was actually counted out because of Ellsworth.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So they could, and Asuka, I believe, has lost by count out or she's definitely lost by disqualification.
She's
in
lost.
NXT. She
yeah.
has, but she's never been pinned or submitted is the
right.
thing. So they could get away with some kind of shenanigans there. I personally would rather her just be left off of this, but that's clearly not up to me. And then there is the main Team Raw, Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Jason Jordan versus Team SmackDown, Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and just announced today, John Cena.
Did you see Rusev's tweet?
I'm so glad that because on SmackDown, it was supposed to be AJ Styles versus Rusev. The winner is on Team SmackDown, but then AJ gets pulled into the championship match, and so Rusev was supposed to wrestle. He wrestled Randy Orton, and if he won, then he got a shot, or he got a spot. Lost to Orton again. But yeah, Rusev tweeting, congratulations to my good friend John Cena. You earned it, Tiger. Go get him, Tiger. Did you also see someone asked him about certain amount of, like, oh, can we get Rusev Day shirts in 2018? And he said, well, something will be released in 2018.
Oh,
I love Rusev constantly teasing being quitting and being released ever since that rumor happened.
I love Rusev.
Rusev number one.
Yeah.
And a happy Rusev day to all.
Every day. Happy Rusev day to Jesse and Calvin, who's also celebrating their birthdays today.
Yes.
Our own members of the Podzilla cast.
It is the best of Rusev days.
Every day is Rusev day.
But yeah. So the Survivor Series card is coming along.
Train wreck.
Looking at it, like,
train wreck.
In a bubble, it's cool. I don't like the thing that Kurt Angle's like, oh, you guys hate each other. You guys will clearly coexist because of Raw pride. At least Heyman acknowledged that Lesnar doesn't give a shit about Raw.
Right.
Like, no, we're the dominant show because Lesnar's here.
Right.
Because I'm here. We are what make this show dominant.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to prove.
Right.
Like, at least they're doing little things like that. They're at least addressing it.
What about Alicia Fox losing to Sasha and then getting on a mic and saying, I need you on my team. You're on my team.
In a tag match.
Yeah.
Like but not Bayley. Because that's the thing is because, you know, it's going to be Bayley or Dana Brooke.
Is she still there?
Yeah.
I like Dana Brooke. Could have been Emma.
Should have been Emma.
God.
So disappointing.
All right. Let's stop talking about WWE. Let's talk about Stride.
I'm trying to. Well, there's one. There was
stuff from Raw and SmackDown, but we're at an hour.
Okay, yeah.
So
that's fine.
as much as we want to talk about terrible things in WWE.
Under Siege 2.0 was stupid. They were all, like, why didn't they go after the New Day? They just surrounded the ring. They eventually went after
them. Yeah, I remember Jason Jordan running up.
Yeah.
Moments later.
It finally happened. And then, yeah, we talked about Sammy and Owens. That was pretty much it.
Raw.
The title changes happened.
Strowman and Kane finally got at each other.
Yes. I loved it. By the way, that's why Balor loses nothing. Strowman hits the power slam. Kane immediately sits up. Strowman dumps him over the top rope. He lands on his feet.
That was always one of my favorite Kane things.
Yeah.
The backwards.
Right.
Anyway.
No, yeah, him leaving the ring was always the coolest.
Let's talk about Stride. And the reason I'm saying that is because we are at an hour, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. I am feeling terrible.
Yeah, like, I'm super hungry too. So.
I am falling apart right before your eyes. And I think this show has dragged on. Not in a bad way. It's been a good show. But like, I feel awful.
So let's talk about Stride.
Let's talk about Stride. I didn't get to go because I was sick. Mm-hmm. And I'm still sick. Allie worked. Uh-huh. So she couldn't go. But you and Dalton went. And once again, fantastic time.
Yeah. It's always a great time at Stride in Marion. The big stuff coming out of it was we got to see the setup for the Buried Alive match that's happening in December.
Between
Red Daniels and Chris Hargis. Yeah. Unfortunately, Chris Hargis wasn't there.
Somebody was.
Red Daniels was. I'll get there in a second. But it was so, the setup that they have is awesome. And we haven't seen the finished product yet. So it's gonna look, it looks so cool. I'm so excited to see that.
Looks sick.
Yeah. I'm gushing over
it. It's a razor.
So yeah, the Red Daniels wrestled. He wrestled former Midwest Mafia member Jake Capone.
That's awesome.
Came back. I wish I could have seen that. That was so cool to see. there was a bit where Jake was leading Red around the ring after he chopped him a bunch. And he's like, kid, you chop him. You chop him. And the child instead did like a one leg drop kick right below the belt.
Right to the Daniels.
Which then he leads him over to Barry's son. Chop him, chop him. Barry's son just punches him in the groin. And then I think one kid did actually finally chop Red. But yeah, Red had a rough night. Red won the match.
Oh, okay.
Just the way the ring moved whenever they were suplexing each other, throwing each other around. It was impressive.
Well, they're big guys.
Yeah.
Jake Capone is big, yes. Big, scary guy. I wish I could have seen him again. I do miss Jake.
Yeah, it was super cool. And it was awesome to see Jake again. I didn't tell Dalton because I wanted Dalton to be surprised. But as we were walking into the arena, we look over and Jake's getting out of his car and he actually walks in right behind us. And so Dalton just looks at me, he's like, so Red's wrestling Jake? And I was like, yeah. I was like, it's cool though, right? And he's like, oh, it's so cool.
Damn it, Jake.
Your timing is so bad. Or ours was. Aaron Brooks versus El Magnifico, which Brian Richards cost El Magnifico the match, which is going to lead to a mask versus beard match in December between the two.
I don't think they should shave off Brian's beard.
I think they should
attach sleeves.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Make him wear sleeves. But, you know, he seemed more upset about the beard. So, but Aaron Brooks had the line of the night for me, which was, my hands are rated E for everyone. And it made me happy. I feel like I missed a chunk of that match because I was laughing so hard. So yeah, that was absolutely incredible. We also got the Tony Flood versus Heath Hatton match for the Legacy Championship. No, they, winner take all. No one can, they cannot challenge each other for that championship. Yeah. And they're so good. I've been talking about how good I think Tony Flood is. You know how good Heath Hatton is.
Yeah.
And they have really good chemistry together. They brought back little aspects from previous times that they wrestled. It was so cool. Tony tried to bring in the ring bell. Lane stopped him, went to return the ring bell. Tony tried to hit Heath with brass knucks. Heath spears him, goes for the cover. Lane sees the brass knuckles and disqualifies Heath for assuming that he.
And Lane, what happens when you assume? Allie, what happens when you assume?
You know.
She doesn't want to say the bad word.
Little angel.
We also had the main event was Mathis versus Jay Spade in a 2 out of 3 falls match. There was a knee that Mathis hit Spade with that I legit thought killed him.
That's every Spade match.
Yeah, but no, this one was just like, oh no. Like, it was bad. Like, from where we were sitting, it looked so bad, but so good.
It hurts so good.
It was tied at one fall apiece until they started to brawl out through. Mathis threw Jade over the concession stand. Jay then launched himself off of the concession stand onto Mathis. Lane ended up ending the match with a double count out. To be fair, it was a disappointing ending because, like, oh man, we wanted to see a definite champion. So for it to end that way was just like, ah, oh, we want, just keep, let them fight.
You want finality.
Yeah. But and to his credit, he let that wasn't a 10 count. Like, he let that go. But at a certain point, you do have to recognize the rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I'm hoping this isn't the last time they wrestle. Jay does such a good job of being believable for Mathis.
Mm.
And Mathis treats Jay legitimately too.
Like, right.
Jay sells for Mathis so incredibly well.
Mm.
Just in general. And then, but Mathis also returns that with Jay, and there are certain points, like, he went after the knee. Mathis took the top turnbuckle off, the pad off of the top turnbuckle, went for the running Kinshasa, hit the knee, and Jay just immediately chop blocks and concentrated strikes on the knee. Like, it was super believable.
One of my favorite, wrestling styles is just that believable, not MMA, but just that strong style type style.
Mm-hmm.
And Mathis is one of my favorites because when he hits you, I've never been hit by Mathis. So I can't attest.
I don't want to.
Well, you're talking. So
yeah, I don't want to be hit by Mathis, but I assume there is some force to it, but he makes it look so vicious. Like, Mathis has such a believable moveset. And I really think, cause when we first went to Stride, when we all went with you guys the first time, we were picking apart, and I don't mean pick apart, like, we were talking about everybody, like, oh, this guy's good, this guy's bad. Everyone's good. We respect every single person there. But I remember the first time I saw Mathis, I told you guys, that's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy right there that's going to be just the breakout. And I am so happy to see Mathis evolve like he has been. He's just really good.
Yeah, no, you know. He's so good. And I'm so happy that he did eventually come to CCW too. Cause yeah. It's just,
I think you're glossing over the most important match though.
Oh no, like I'm going in a specific order.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Because no, yeah. But yeah, then there was the tag team championship match, and this was the heartbreak of the night.
This is the one that I just saw the results, and my heart dropped
because the show opened with with Jay Wellington Beauregard coming out and saying he's going to remain neutral. The DR party comes out, then Maximum Overdrive comes out, and Sam makes the announcement that if the DR party touches Maximum Overdrive or instigates a fight, they are stripped of the tag team championships. If Maximum Overdrive initiates a fight, they don't get their championship match in the night. So, and everybody wants to see everyone wants to see Axe Piledrive someone. That's what we want to see. So Heath Hatton comes out and piledrives Edwards, the big guy, and just lays him out, which was hilarious. Brian Richards was not cleared to compete because he still had his neck brace on from the last time Axe piledrove him. So with him laid out, it was, and Dexter ran his mouth to the GM, Sam. Sam makes it a 2-on-1 handicap match for the tag team championships. Maximum Overdrive versus Dexter Roswell out on his own. So we get to the match. We get to the start. It starts with Axe wants to get his hands on Dexter. And that was entertaining. Axe is, again, another guy that is so good. And Dexter too. Like, the difference between when we started going to Stride and where we're at now for Dexter is amazing.
A lot of those guys are just evolving constantly.
And it's so great to be able to see that. Like, it feels like, oh, we get, you know, when we go to Stride, we're friends with a lot of the people there. You know, we're friends with Kevin, we're friends with Dexter and all of them. But like, we don't work there. We don't have any official affiliation.
We can take a back seat and watch it.
Yeah. And we just get to be fans and to just see everyone progress and to see like guys like Heath and Tyler and Mathis and Axe work with the younger guys and see just both sides grow is
Scott Petty or Scott Phoenix.
Scott Phoenix.
It's still Scott Phoenix. Yeah. Scott Phoenix is one of those guys that like when we first went there, you guys called him the AFI guy.
I built him up as the person that I loved to boo because yeah. I loved him from day one.
But when I first saw him, he didn't really strike me. I don't mean this as an insult. I really don't.
He didn't strike your fancy?
He didn't strike my fancy as anything like super special. But seeing his work with Axe and Beauregard and just seeing him again month after month and seeing him on Facebook and all that, like he's really become the reason my heart is broken. And you're going to reveal it in a second.
Yeah.
Is because I love them as a team so much.
Maximum Overdrive
is my favorite team.
And we got to cheer for them finally. We started a Dexter's. Dalton and I were chanting Dexter's mom. when Jay Wellington Beauregard initiated the, oh, hey, okay, you know, give your number to a lucky lady, he gave it to Beauregard's mom that time, just as that kind of like, F you, like, it was so great.
What, Beauregard's mom or Dexter's mom?
Beauregard's mom.
Really?
This show, it was Beauregard's mom. Last show, it was Dexter's mom.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so eventually, Axe is going for the pile driver. Scott's like, no, no, I want to pile drive him. I want to pile drive him. Axe tags him in. Scott teases the pile driver. He looks at us because, like, he's facing us. He's like, you guys want to see a pile driver? Yeah. Dexter wriggles his way out, puts him in a headlock, and Scott immediately taps. Axe can't believe it. They both bail out of the ring. Just so, and then Scott walks back out with Dexter, both of them holding the tag team, the Stride Tag Team Championships.
What about Beauregard?
Beauregard came out, like, they all pretty much just booted Axe.
Ugh.
And I was
That's the last guy I would want to piss off.
Right. Also worth mentioning that, the special guest referee for that match was Jerry Travelstead.
Yeah.
So T-Dog. It was a handicap match against Maximum Overdrive with T-Dog as the special guest referee. So there was no way in hell Dexter was leaving with the Tag Team Championships. Except he's got friends down there, you know, after Jackson sent him, Jackson a notice.
They sent him
they
back.
They sent him
to,
there, so he came back with friends.
He crossed the portal from Missouri. He can never go back. He's got a hit out on him.
So yeah, so I'm hoping what Dalton and I are pushing for, and, I alone came up with this idea for a name. It was only me.
It was just you.
Don't believe the lies.
Ace of Gray.
But T-Dog and Axe teaming up to become Old School Discipline. Is what my heart wants. But yeah, so also we talked after the show. They were giving Scott a lot of character ideas that I won't spoil for anyone, but I told him if you come out wearing a suit and like you cut your hair, I don't think I'll be able to
He'll
handle
be dead.
It. Yeah.
He'll be dead to us.
His
hair is his power.
Yeah. I know. It's like Samson. You can't cut the hair.
Yeah.
He's having like shampoo and conditioner brand coming out. He can't cut his hair.
Exactly. So yeah, the next show I believe is December 9th. Don't quote me on that. When I get that actually, we'll prove that more because that is going to have the Buried Alive match, which again, that setup looks amazing and Stride is always just an amazing time.
It's kind of sad that Billy wasn't wrestling.
It didn't feel right. I thought about, you know, saying something, but I didn't want to like, I don't want to discredit the other people from Stride. But the reason that Dalton and I even went to Stride was because of Billy and Sarah. Because they're like, oh no, you know, because Sarah told us, oh, you think Billy's good at being a bad guy? Come watch him be a good guy. If you get a chance to, you need to see it. So we took that trip over there, and yes, we went for Billy, but we kept going.
You went for the Billy, but you stayed for everybody
for the
else.
Rest of the roster, right. Yeah. But for him to not be there, like, yeah, we still got to talk to and hang out with Kevin and Tyler and Mathis and all of them, and Garrett and Dan, like, and everybody. Like, we got our friends that we have there now. We got to talk to them, but we miss Billy and Sarah.
It's kind of like whenever there's like a PW and one of us isn't there.
Right.
Like any three of us together is good. Mm-hmm. But without the fourth, it just doesn't feel right. Yeah. Like with Dalton not here, it doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. I miss Dalton.
Right.
And when I'm gone, I'm sure you guys miss Hunter. So that was a joke. That was a joke, Barry. Anyway. So yeah, I want to try to make the next Stride show. I have to meet Kevin Huntsberger at some point. It has to happen. It's like the promo where Macho Man and Hogan first team up. And they don't want to touch each other's hands because they're afraid the universe will explode.
Right.
That's going to be me and Kevin, I think. So he's much more important. But I think that's the show, unless you got anything else.
I don't think so.
Because I haven't
checked the internet in the last, like,
so who knows what 3 crazy
hours,
thing has happened?
So who knows what we missed? How could you guys not talk about?
Well, sorry, guys. We're cutting this off at 9:20 p.m. This is when we're finishing the show. Yeah. I got to eat, and I got to go home and be sick because I feel awful.
I want food.
So thank you guys for tuning in to PW. We want to... Again, thank you so much. We love you guys so much. And by the way, I said, this was my mistake. I said that we didn't do many shows last week. We didn't do the Tuesday show because it was a live Facebook show, which by the way went very well. Thank you guys for tuning in. That was a lot of fun. We didn't do the Thursday show because we were so sick. And I thought, man, our numbers are going to be terrible because we didn't do these shows. Completely wrong. Our numbers have doubled in the past week.
Wow.
Somehow. So maybe someone new caught a hold of us and we've just had a huge influx of new listeners. I don't know. But right now it is insane numbers that we're pulling. Thank you guys so much. You have no idea how much this means to us on a personal level. Like not even just professionally, just personally.
Yeah.
We love it so much. Thank you guys for tuning in. Tomorrow we're starting Pokemon month on Podzilla 1985 on Podzilla After Dark. Plus I'm going to say the F word. So you guys want to tune into that for sure. Asa, my voice is going out. My throat hurts. Hit him with the plugs.
I'll hit him with the plugs and then I'll take us out.
Thank you, sir.
You'll know when to go.
Thank you, sir.
So if you like what we do and you want to support us financially, you can do that at patreon.com/podzilla1985. If you don't want to support us monetarily, that's fine. We appreciate you listening. You can also go to facebook.com/podzilla1985. Give us a like. Share your favorite episode with some friends. We're trying to bring as many people on board as we possibly can. And because we love doing this and we love entertaining you guys. So definitely do that. Also, it definitely helps out a lot if you like and, or if you subscribe to us and review us in whatever podcasting service you have available. If it's on iTunes, that helps a lot. That, you know, iTunes recommend us to even more people. So take the time to do that. That helps us out so much. We can't even say. And also go to podzilla1985.com because you can go back there. They're listed by episode or by show title. Check out Nerd Up, any of the other shows that we do on the Podzilla 1985 network, in the backlog, and it's entertaining, you know. Go back and listen to your favorite one again. Share your favorite one with your close friends. And so that is going to do us, so thank you, Shannon, for hosting, even though you are on your deathbed again, and Allie for showing up, since Dalton has, like, a professional life. I have responsibilities. I can't ramble about wrestling for an hour and plus. So thank you guys. And from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say happy Rusev Day.